But they've made us such a bunch of paranoid nuts, you know, because when I was growing up, there were two medicines in the world. You had aspirin and camphophonique. That's all there was. Now there's so many medicines. They got this prescription stuff that they advertise on TV, and I swear, half the time, the side effects are 50 times worse than what the medicine cures.
It's like, try new Floraflor for itchy, watery eyes. It's Floraflor. Side effects may include nausea, vomiting, water weight gain, lower back pain, receding hairline, eczema, seborrheic psoriasis.
If you develop an allergic reaction, a severe rash, or signs of unusual behavior, stop taking Tamiflu and call your doctor immediately.
Welcome to the Dean Show. We got another expert on the program. Health is a blessing many people take for granted. They don't take it seriously. We got Dr. Grasso. How are you?
Good.
Mr. Dr. Grasso, how you been?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Now, there's a friend of mine. His wife was having migraine headaches. All right. One problem. She goes to the doctor, your conventional doctor, and they give her some prescription drugs. So now not only does she have the migraine, she's also having seizures, which is one of the side effects to this prescribed drug. Hmm. We hear a lot of this stuff. We talked a little bit about curing the root, and then we'll get into you explaining to us the holistic approach to medicine as opposed to the symptom, and then you take, you know, one prescription drug for another. Tell us about when you hear this story. Have you heard stories like this where a person takes something to heal something, and then next thing you know, they got a whole new array of problems coming up?
Excessive body odor, uneven tire wear, pyorrhea, gonorrhea, diarrhea.
Oh, sure. I mean, if you look up any drug on in the PDR, the physician desk reference, or you can go online now. We have a lot of Dr. Googles out there, so they want to research their conditions. They want to research their medications. It's a common fact that every medication is going to have several hundred, if not thousands, of side effects. And some of those are common side effects, and some of those are serious side effects, and they actually do, you know, label them that way. And so it's very common that people are going to get a side effect to a medication. And most conventional-minded physicians are going to say, well, you know, it'll go away. Just keep taking it and you'll be fine. Now, this particular patient getting seizures, that's a problem. And obviously that you don't want that to happen. In my practice, and we can talk more about my background and my
education. Yeah, tell us about your background. What is it actually? You're a doctor in osteopathy, right?
Yes, DL. Correct.
What does that mean?
So there are two types of medical schools, three if you count dentists.
Yeah.
Two types of medical schools in the United States. There's MDs, or allopathic medicine, medical doctors, which everyone knows about. And then you have DOs, or Doctors of Osteopathic Medicine. There are 31 schools now in the United States. Our education is exactly the same. We study the same books. We take the same national exams. Actually, 2 years ago, they just integrated our residency programs with the MDs. So we used to have our own hospitals. And those gradually faded out over time. And now all of the hospital systems, if you go here to Rush down the street here or any other hospital in the United States, you're going to see doctors with DO at the end of their name. Specialists, cardiologists, neurosurgeons, surgeons of all different specialties, renal specialists, endocrinologists, family physicians, which is what I am, internists, etc. So that's the same. We take the same national boards. We have the same right to practice, prescribe medication, and do surgery. No difference as far as our education. The only difference, and which was designed to be since 1874, which was the first school of osteopathic medicine in Kirksville, Missouri. That's where it was born. Was that osteopathic medicine was designed from a place of health. It was designed to find the cause, not to treat symptoms. And the primary foundation of osteopathic medicine was a hands-on, very unique hands-on approach, where we're taught certain perceptual skills to sense not only physical things in terms of anatomy and physiology and muscles, joints, ligaments, organs, but there are other things that you feel in the body that have a fluid nature and that have a bioelectrical nature, and those things can disease. So when you develop the right perceptual skills and hands-on skills, and you get the right training, you can diagnose and treat with your hands. But osteopathic treatment is not a therapy, and this is where people get confused, because they look at DO, Doctor of Osteopathy, and osteopathy, if you pull the word apart, osteo means bone, pathy or pathos means disease, bone disease. People think that we're specialists of the bones, and we're not. We're medical doctors, but we're DOs, but we are trained, at least from a traditional standpoint, and I'm one of the few who are still uniquely traditional. We're taught to treat from a place of health, to understand that no matter what a person walks into our office with, whatever the disease process or condition, that as long as they're alive, there's still health in that individual. And sometimes the disease is just a wake-up call or a doorway to find the cause of the illness or to help the person, you know, follow a road to recovery. And it's up to us to figure that out and lead them into the right direction. Mm-hmm. And if you're just focusing on symptoms like this other patient who's got the migraines, then you're just giving them a drug and you're covering it up. And we don't know why they have the migraines. Is this some past experience, some injury that they had in the past? Is this some emotional thing going on? Are they eating something from a nutritional perspective that is causing it? Do they have some kind of toxicity in their body? Do they have metals in their mouth? There's so many different factors, including the medications that can give them side effects. And there are drugs, there are blood pressure drugs that can dilate the blood vessels and give people a side effect, the headaches. There are a lot of drugs that, because of their side effects, they use to treat different things like depression. A lot of sports people, when they're in real high-stress situations, like, I play a little bit of golf, and yeah, some golfers take, beta blockers. They're blood pressure medicines. And the side effect, not only do they bring the blood pressure down, but they calm you down. So they're anti-anxiety effects. So there's a lot of different reasons. And in my practice, holism is not using herbs instead of synthetic medication.
Yeah.
That may be part of it. But holism is looking at the patient, mind, body, and spirit, and treating and moving towards cause. And sometimes you don't get to the cause right away. And that's the uniqueness of osteopathic medicine, because we're given the ability to use our hands and our extrasensory perception to understand a human being. And I tell my patients, because they all come in and they have all their ideas, they look at Google, they diagnose, they self-diagnose, and I say, listen, okay, I understand where you're coming from. The first thing that I have to do is treat the patient. Okay, I understand your disease. I'm going to acknowledge it. I went to medical school. It's one of the reasons I went there, because I need to know disease. I need to understand what you're going through and what you're taking for medications, but I still have to understand you first. And then we can start picking things apart. And every person that comes in my office, they get time.
How long does it take? Do you give time with a patient? Is it like 5 minutes, 10 minutes? What? Because typically you'll go into a doctor's office and they'll, make you, I'm not saying every doctor, but the majority out there that I've been to, and people, they complain, the doctor sets the appointment at 12, they see them at 2, and when they and then they give them 5 minutes and a drug.
Yeah, I take pride in being on time.
Yeah.
And there are times when I'm not on time, but it's rare. I might be 20 minutes behind. But I don't see more than 10 or 12 patients a day. That's my average.
Mm.
So new patients are going to get at least an hour and 15, hour and a half in my office.
Hour
and 15.
That's almost unheard of.
Correct. And my follow-up patients are going to get 45 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. And the reason is I don't understand how physicians do it.
Some of them see like 100 patients, 100 a day. Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. And the way the whole medical system's going, and I really don't want to get into that, but because it's a long story, I feel bad for physicians these days because they're having to work harder to make a living. And plus, the whole politics behind it, it's just, I don't want to really get into that, but it's really tough for them. So they're forced to see so many patients in a day.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in my office. I mean, people come, I spend the time, And you need the time if you want to understand somebody.
Yeah.
And understand what they're going through.
You need the time. You need the time. This is really important right there. Hour and 15 to hour and a half to 5 minutes. How can you give a great diagnosis, a good diagnosis?
Impossible.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back here with more from Dr. Grasso. We'll be right back.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show with Dr. Joseph Grasso. Thank you again, Doctor, for being with us.
Great to be here, Eddie.
Thank you. Okay, so we talked about the diagnosis. Tell us, why did they serve Sloppy Joe at hospitals? or have a pop machine?
Hey, Eddie.
I don't understand
you
that.
You know, it's...
pop Coca-Cola machine?
That's a good question.
Why?
You know,
I don't...
go to hospitals... I did a three-year residency. Yeah. Board certified in family practice, just like any other physician. And, you go to a hospital, you think someone, you're sick and you want to get healthy, and a person's laying there in the hospital bed and they're getting awakened every hour, okay? So, it's been proven the highest potential of healing is when you sleep.
Yeah.
You have to sleep, okay? So, okay, you got these sick patients. Yeah, it's justified in some cases. You have to wake them up for certain conditions, but for the most part, you got to let them heal. But then you go down into the lunchroom in the cafeteria and they're serving junk. Pizza, GMO foods, sugars, tons and tons of sugars, okay? Yeah. And you see what the patients are getting in their meals, and it's sickening because, in my opinion, food in the United States especially is one of the major causes of disease. And so it's important for me to educate my patients on nutrition. And you've had our best buddy Jim Marlowe on the show, and he frequently sees our patients. And you've just spoken with Dr. Garcia as well. So he's a big part of our diagnostic and whole therapeutic regimen in the office, because food is crucial. What you put in your body is going to either help you get healthier and keep you healthier, or it's going to make you sick. And we have so many problems with digestive diseases. I mean, little children, okay, who, if the mothers don't breastfed and the newborn and they're drinking this GMO soy-based formulas, and it's not healthy for them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So 50% of the battle or more, if I get patients' nutrition straightened out, it makes my job so much easier.
Do doctors learn about nutrition? Did you guys learn about nutrition, the importance of nutrition in medical school?
No, absolutely not. The closest we get to nutrition in medical school, I don't know about now, I've been out there for 25 years, but as far as I know, because I get students to come through my office all the time, no one's getting educated on nutrition. And if they do, it's about counting calories.
Yeah.
And it's about, like, diabetics. If you go see someone who supposedly specializes in treating diabetics nutritionally, they're going to put them all on the same diet, and you can't do that. The closest we get to nutrition in medical school is what they call parenteral nutrition. And if someone's in the intensive care unit and they can't eat, they're on a respirator, they have to feed you through a tube. And basically they tell you all the different nutrients you have to put in there. That's the closest we're getting, okay? And in fact, nutrition should be the number one course in medical school. It should be where we start. Now, we have to learn the whole systems approach, cardiology, neurology, nephrology, endocrinology, et cetera. We need to understand those things to be a physician. And for me, it's an integral part of what I do. And that's why, I originally wanted to be a chiropractor, because I enjoy using my hands. And there are a lot of good chiropractors out there that do some very good work. But I felt at the time that I would be limited in the ability to treat everything, because I often get patients who come into my office, they're taking a lot of drugs. And many times they come because they want to get off their drugs. As a non-medical physician, I do not have the licensure or the education to do that. It doesn't mean that those alternative-minded physicians, chiropractors and homeopaths, that they can't do it. It's just they legally can't do it. They got to send them back to their physician and say, okay, I think it's ready. You're ready to come off this medication. To do it safely, you need someone who's educated.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to have that limitation. I wanted continuity in my office. So very rarely do I have to send people to specialists. And as you said before, a patient goes and sees a physician. They're in there, the waiting room for an hour, 2 hours, and then the experience is terrible. They're there for 5 minutes, and they're not even heard. So the way I look at it is, if I'm going to go see a physician, how do I want to be treated? Okay? If I ever have to refer someone, I'm confused. I need to get some help.
Yes.
And it's only to get a diagnosis. I tell them, go see a physician. Let's see if I'm missing something, because I'm not quite clear what's going on with you medically. Don't do anything until we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll get the information, and then we'll go from there. So it's very important that that we have continuity in the office, and that's what osteopathic medicine was designed to do. It was designed for primary care. It wasn't designed to be a specialist. And as you know, there are specialties and subspecialties and sub-sub-subspecialties these days. So no one has the ability to treat the whole patient. So you go see an endocrinologist and the person's got a headache. Well, it's your thyroid's off. Go see the neurologist. As an osteopathic physician, with what we do and the proper way that we've been trained traditionally, now, mind you, the schools don't do this anymore, and we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
To get the right training, you're going to have to come. You have to go in the office. You have to train with somebody. You have to take some courses. So when they come to my office, I am not afraid to treat any medical condition. I have terminal cancer patients that come in the office. I have pregnant women. I have newborns. There are all sorts of things that as long as you're a person and you're alive, we'll treat you.
Speaking about pregnant women, what is your, one in three here in America, women are, there's a C-section rate of one in three women. Sky high C-section rates in U.S. don't translate to better birth outcomes. What do you have to say about the skyrocketing rate of C-sections now?
Well, some of that is elective. And I can understand I'm not a woman, but I've treated a lot of women, and mm-hmm. There may be some vanity involved with that, and I totally understand that. It's a childbirth. I treated so many women in the last 25 years going through pregnancy. It's not an easy process.
Yeah.
And
but what about the women who really want to have it naturally,
correct,
as possible,
yeah,
but they're pressured into the whole, system of speeding it up. What is the Pitocin, and then going through that? And if they put you on a time clock, if you're not, the baby's not out after 24 hours, boom, C-section.
There is an issue with that, Eddie. And some of it is lawyer-based. Physicians are afraid they're going to get sued. And if you look here in Illinois alone, it's one of the highest malpractice rates in the country.
Mm.
For obstetricians. There have been a lot of obstetricians that left Illinois for that reason, because they're paying $200,000, $300,000 a year just in malpractice insurance.
Wow.
And so for me, my malpractice is still even high as a family physician, and I've never had any issues with that. And if you spend time with people, it's generally not going to be an issue if you treat people like human beings and you take time with them. But as far as the obstetricians, I can see their point of view, but that doesn't justify doing C-sections. Some women electively want to do it as well. But in some cases, having delivered 32 kids myself when I was in my residency, some of those deliveries can go awry and you can have problems. And there's a necessity for C-sections. In other cases, if you just wait it out, and I'm saying I'm not an obstetrician, I don't know all the statistics on that, but I know that the body can do what it's supposed to do if you give it a chance. And it's about faith and it's about trust. And a lot of physicians don't have that.
What if it's breached?
If it's breached, it's I'm a twin, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I came out first, and I came out with my head down. But my sister, who's my twin, came out breached. And my mother was 4'11", so she had two little kids in there that were 6.5 pounds. It's a lot of weight for a 4'11" body. But, they delivered her, and it happens. And in the olden days, it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the statistics, I know that with breech deliveries, as soon as they see you breech,
C-section. Yeah.
And I treat a lot of pregnant women, and they will do, the last 6 weeks of the pregnancy, There are certain things that I can look for from an osteopathic perspective, hands-on. And if the kid is breech, we can turn the baby.
You can turn the baby.
Oh, God, yeah. It's simple. It's rather simple.
But they make it seem like it's almost like you feel like it's impossible. Once it's breech, that's it. There's nothing you can do. You can actually turn the baby.
You can turn the baby, but it's not a physical thing where you're actually going in there turning it like a steering wheel. There, and this is a whole new topic. We could do a couple of shows on that.
We got to do it. Let me take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
It's like, when did you think that you had no purpose? Are you worthless? The value comes from purpose.
Your purpose in life is to worship the Creator, not worship your desires and self, not worship social pressure, the celebrity culture, but worship the thing that's much higher and transcendent, above and beyond. By worshiping God and seeking His pleasure, you get pleased. So you have double pleasure.
Back here on the Dean Show with Dr. Joseph Grasso. Continue on. You left off. We can specifically, this topic, a lot of people now are choosing home births. What do you think about that? That, you know, a comfortable environment, peaceful.
Sure. And, you know, in the olden days that used to happen. And to the credit of the medical system and the technology, it's become much better. There are some hospitals you can actually deliver a baby in a bathtub.
Yeah. They have midwives now.
Yeah. And they have midwives. But sometimes things don't go as planned. And I treated this woman through her pregnancy. And she totally planned. She had a midwife. She planned on having the child at home. And the delivery just didn't go quite right. And so she ended up having to go to the hospital. She ended up having the child. Didn't have a C-section, but everything was okay. But, you know, sometimes those things happen. And perhaps in the olden days, there could have been problems with the mother and the baby. But I think when you look at the advent of medicine and some of the technologies out there, it's been helpful. But on the whole, I can tell you this. When it comes to emergency situation, medicine does a fairly good job at stabilizing people. But when it comes to healing, it's horrible. Mm. I don't know what other word I can tell you.
Yeah.
It's not designed to help people heal. It's designed to enable people, and it's designed people to stay sick.
Mm.
So if you have to take a medication, in my practice, if someone comes in and their blood pressure is elevated, I'll try any alternative means, including treating them, because everyone gets hands-on treatment in my office. And that's a whole nother explanation, because it's different than anything, you know, it's not manipulation, it's not a therapy. But everyone gets treated, and I'll do whatever it takes from an alternative basis to bring their blood pressure down. But if it doesn't come down, I can't let them walk on the street with a blood pressure 200 over 100. Yeah. So I have to prescribe something.
When you say alternative, what, you know, the other side, or who people think like that's anti-science, against science, you know, as soon as you say alternative, some people, you know, have other labels to it, you know. We're conditioned to have insurance for everything, for instance. Let me just give you this example. Insurance for the car, insurance for BIV. If anything goes wrong, I got insurance, I'll fix it. Same thing with the body. If anything goes wrong, I got the, you know, the doctor, I go to see him, he's got a drug for every ill. You turn on the TV and there is a pill for every ill.
There is. There is.
And is there really?
The United States is one of the few countries that actually advertises medications.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of sad because you watch a football game and you're seeing all these things for erectile dysfunctions on TV. And you got kids that are watching these shows. I mean, it's just horrific.
But isn't that based on science?
It's all, well, there's science behind it. But if you look at the subscripts and all the side effects, it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
And it's conditioning people. That's what commercials do. Mm. It's propaganda that conditions people at a very young age that it's okay to do that. We teach people, we educate people that come into our office that the patient needs to take part in their health care. They have to be the primary role, which means they have to be educated in living a healthy life and eating properly and proper dental hygiene proper exercise and meditation and supporting your spiritual side of yourself, which very rarely is talked about in medicine.
Not at all. And so this is really a holistic. This is
it's
really
so important. You have to have a practice, some kind of practice, every day. Or if it's taking a walk, or just walking out your front door and seeing what direction the wind is coming in. I mean, people living in the city, they're inside most of the time,
mm-hmm.
And they're looking at their cell phones all day long, and they're texting. So we're disconnected.
We pray five times a day. This is for the spiritual aspect. So this, there is really in health, you see a benefit there because you're talking
it's
about
it's huge.
That. It's huge, huh?
It's probably one of the most important parts of being healthy.
Yeah, you hear that, guys? That's coming from an expert in the area of health, a doctor. But most doctors that I've come across, that I've went to over the years, I've never heard this mentioned about, hey, are you keeping up your prayer? I mean, or are you, not that they say that, but the holistic approach that everything, all these components matter to good health.
It's crucial. And, you know, for me, it's been a journey. It's been an odyssey, if you will. And each treatment is an odyssey. Each experience I have with a patient is an odyssey. And that odyssey is, you have to figure out all the different characteristics of what's happening to that individual and why they got sick. But you can't focus on the disease. You need to acknowledge it, and you need to acknowledge all the different pieces that may be surrounding it. But ultimately, you have to help that person to connect. Once they connect and they find themselves again, then they can heal.
Yeah.
And part of that process is everything that we've talked about.
We have a couple more minutes. Real quick, someone's in not in Chicago. They can't come see you. They're in Texas, Hawaii, wherever. What advice do you have? The person's sick of, they want to get off the drugs. They don't want to be taking drugs. They want to live a healthier life. You know, what advice? But they also, look, I'm enjoying really sitting. I want to sit with experts, people, you know, like yourself. How does someone find an expert to sit with in their community? How can they, you know, because the person also, every doctor he goes to, he just putting on some drug that has 10, 20 different side effects. How do they find a doctor like yourself?
Yeah, that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. It really is a challenge because from my perspective and my experience of what I've done with patients over the years, you really have to have faith and trust in what you're doing. And sometimes it goes way against the principles of conventional medical practice. So people are afraid to take someone off of medication. I have a lot of colleagues that won't even touch that. And in my opinion, you have to be treating everything. You can't be afraid to change someone's medication and treat the whole individual. And so when you go around the country in the United States, there's a couple of resources where I refer people to. It's cranialacademy.org, where there are some physicians like myself who do some hands-on work. And then there's another website. Actually, my teacher started this website called bio.com. Mm-hmm. And there are some physicians in there that do similar work. But you have to have a relationship with the physician. It's really about the trust and the faith in the physician and what they're doing and how far they're willing to go. And some people just are not willing to do that, Eddie. In this world that we live in, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be afraid of the effects of that. So I tell your listeners, good luck on that part.
Yeah.
I can only tell you what I do in my practice, and it's not about belief systems either. It's about what's common sense. Mm-hmm. And do you get the results?
Yeah.
And we say the proof is in the pudding. You get the results, that speaks for itself. I tell my patients all the time because they're like, what do you do? And I say, listen, I can tell you everything that I do. I can be really charismatic about it, but I'd rather prove it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what physicians have to do. They have to kind of go against the grain and be willing to go the extra mile with the individual. And that means you got to look under every stone, every crevice, and first and foremost, pay attention to the patient. Listen to them.
Yeah.
And if most physicians, even if they're spending 10 minutes, if they just listen to the patient, I can't begin to tell you the amount of stories where patient walked in, physician never, they're looking at their watch the whole time.
Mm.
They never listened to the patient. And they just left with a prescription. It's sad. That's where things are going. So we don't live by that. We function in our practice. You know, Dr. Garcia and I practice in the same office, and it's an integrated practice where we see the same patients, and we both are focused on the same thing, which is health,
mm-hmm.
and how what you're doing and how you're living and how it affects to overall health and well-being.
If people visit Chicago, are in Chicago, and they want to come see you, how do they get in touch?
Well, you know, if you Google my name and my Dr. Garcia's name, you know, it's Dr. Garcia has a website. I don't have a website. I like to sit in the background a bit. But she has a website, drlenagarcia.com, and all that all that information is right there. So you can just call the office and make an appointment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Last few words, a sentence. I usually ask people if you can put it in a tweet, something that will stick for someone who just wants to have good health. What do you? I know we can have another show on this, but some words that you can leave them with.
What I would say is that do whatever it takes to stay connected. That nature, in and of its definition, will take care of everything, no matter what's happening out there in the world. Nature has the solution, and if you trust something that even you can't see, and that's the definition of faith, you will find your way. And that means, you know, healing. That means getting connected. That means finding the right nutrition. Trust that. And that's what I would leave you with at this point.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Eddie.
Thank you. God bless you for being with us. Thank you so much. We look forward. Hopefully we can have you back again.
Yes.
Sounds good?
Yes.
God willing.
I would love to come back.
Thank you.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.